But, you know, good afternoon, New Vine Church. In the days leading up to this afternoon, I've had this reoccurring battle within my spirit. It was a silent voice, and it asked, "By what authority are you here? What gives you the right to speak?" I recognize these accusations as seeds of doubt coming from our enemy, the devil. And last week's message by Douglas, entitled "Ordinary People," that was so timely. My response to those seeds of doubt are found in 1 Peter 3:15, which reads, which tells us to honor the Messiah, our Lord, in our hearts, always to be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that is in us. So that is why I'm here. That is why we are all here. We are all ordinary people, and we serve an extraordinary God. Amen. So this afternoon, the topic that we'll be looking at is a very familiar one to all of us. However, we might not realize its full impact upon our walk with God. This is a topic that God has been speaking to me about. As a public school teacher, my last day of classes were on June the 9th. It's officially summer. And traditionally, it's a time when families take a break from school and work, and they go on vacation. So whether you're driving by car or flying by airplane, young children everywhere will be asking the same question. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, we wait for cell phones and laptops to be recharged. We wait for babies to be born. We wait for seeds to grow up in the fruit-bearing trees. And we wait in line at Costco to buy groceries. So this past week, what did you wait for? Since the beginning of God's creation, waiting has been and continues to be a common human experience that we all share. So the title of this afternoon's message is Waiting. Lord, are we there yet? According to the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, waiting is defined as the action of staying where you are or delaying action until a particular time, remaining ready for some purpose. So here are a few examples in the dictionary using the word wait. I hate waiting in long lines. I don't have time to wait around, I'm leaving. And for the men, my favorite, she watched them silently, waiting for an explanation. You know, science has also found an explanation for waiting. One study asked the same question. Why do young children keep asking the question, are we there yet? It's all a matter of perspective. A child's lack of life experiences occupy a larger percentage of his or her young life. As we age, our perception of time seems to speed up because a greater percentage of our lives has already been spent. You can think about this like a duplex block versus a Lego block. You know, according to the world's view, waiting is generally regarded as something negative. You know, as a society, we do everything we can to avoid waiting. But today, I'm here to say that waiting gets a bad rap. You know, in the Bible, this idea of waiting appears 106 times. And as Christians, waiting is more than a delay. It is a time of preparation. Knowing when to wait, how to wait, are both essential for being true followers of Christ. And as we grow from childhood and into adulthood, we continue to ask God the same question. Lord, are we there yet? You know, when will I experience a breakthrough in my difficult situation? When will my health issues improve? When will my sadness end? So whether you're young or old or anywhere in between, what are we going to do about waiting? This theme of waiting is interwoven into the very fiber of God's word, the Bible. For those of us who are willing to overcome our impatience and fully understand how to wait upon the Lord, there are rich spiritual rewards and the promise of God's favor. But if we're not willing to wait for God's timing, we end up taking matters into our own hands, and we neglect the true purpose and calling that God has for us here on earth, and we will miss our heavenly calling. A few weeks ago, our Alliance missionary Wayne Fong spoke on the faith of Noah. Noah received a vision from God at the age of 500, and he acted in obedience, and then he patiently waited another 100 years for the rains to come. You know, God rewarded him according to his faithfulness. He and his family experienced the miraculous works of God. But what if Noah decided not to wait for the Lord? What if he perceived the long wait for rain as a sign that the mission was a fantasy? You know, then the building of the ark and all the events surrounding the flood would not have fulfilled God's plan for Noah, his family, and mankind. So today, we're going to take a look at the parable of the 10 virgins. A parable has been described as an earthly story that helps us understand heavenly truth. It may not have actually happened, but it reflects the culture and the customs of the time of Jesus. And for those who want to follow God, these parables instruct us how we should live in such a way to please our Father in heaven. So why don't we go ahead and stand and read Matthew 25 together, please. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take olive oil with them, but the sensible ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, "Here's the bride, the groom, come out and meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." The sensible ones answered, "No, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves." When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, "Master, Master, open up for us." But he replied, "I assure you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, because you know neither the day or the hour." Thank you. You may be seated. The kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, is like. Can you just imagine that for a moment? The kingdom of heaven is like. It's the place where God dwells, but how would you ever capture with just human words something as majestic, glorious, or awesome as that? It's kind of like, how would you respond to a child who's only eaten vanilla ice cream and walks up to you and asks you to describe the taste of Ben and Jerry's brownie chunks and chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream? You know, so through this parable, Matthew explains to his readers something that is so far beyond our human understanding, but the Spirit of God can open up our spiritual eyes and give us the smallest of glimpse of the preparation required as we wait to enter the kingdom of heaven. So my question is, why is waiting compared to the 10 virgins? What is the significance of the 10 virgins? Why not the kingdom of heaven is like 10 farmers, or 10 tent makers, or 10 fishermen? You know, Matthew uses 10 virgins to represent a group of people. A virgin is more than someone who hasn't had premarital sex. A virgin is someone whose sole passion is reserved for her one true love. A virgin is set aside for holy purposes. You know, God wants us to be pure. He wants to be our one true love, and he wants to set us aside for holy purposes too. This passage mentions how the bride is waiting for the groom, yet there's really little mention of either the bride or the groom. Here, the central focus is on the bridesmaids, the virgins. You know, back in those days, the wedding processions happened at night, so having light was vital. And, you know, much like today's present-day weddings, there were joyous celebrations with singing and dancing, and the virgins probably led the bridal party. So the 10 virgins are waiting for the groom to show up. Then they can escort the bridal party to the wedding banquet. And, you know, in the same way, what are the areas in our lives that we're waiting for God to show up? You know, what are those earthly possessions that are unique to us? God may be asking us to wait for physical healing. Your neighbor might be waiting for the return of a wayward son or daughter. But in the end, whether we're ready or not, we are all waiting for the Lord's return. So what should our waiting look like? You know, this leads us to our second question. What are we supposed to do while we wait? You know, the foolish virgins took their lamps with them, but they had no oil, while the sensible ones took the oil in their flasks. Now, the oil in the lamps, that represents God's Spirit living in us. And both the sensible and the foolish virgins, they brought what they had, but some were prepared and some were not. So while we are waiting, we cannot be foolish and we cannot be unprepared. So what made them foolish? What made them sensible? So while we're waiting, what does being prepared spiritually look like? You know, number one, we need to persevere with God. You know, since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. They weren't perfect, they fell asleep. And that should really bring us a lot of hope, you know, because we will make mistakes. However, we are to stay focused on God's calling upon our lives. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize." So we need to continually remind ourselves, what is God's calling on our lives? And that will be our anchor, which holds us firmly in place with Him during long moments of waiting. Number two, we need to cultivate a life that pleases God. You know, when the groom arrives, the foolish virgins didn't take enough oil in their lamps, so they asked the sensible ones for some of theirs. The sensible ones wouldn't give theirs up because they knew that the oil wasn't meant for both. You know, being unprepared was more than just an honest mistake or even a small miscalculation. This was a grievous offense to the groom. You know, if the sensible ones had given the foolish ones their oil, their lamps would have gone out and the procession would not have been lit. You know, the sensible virgin's devotion and passion to the groom overcame any sense of earthly tie or obligation that they may have felt toward the foolish virgins. So in the same way, our faith is not something that you can hand down to somebody else. So to be a true follower of God, you know, you and I have to cultivate being in God's presence as if it's the most important thing to us. You know, all 10 virgins were waiting, but the difference was in the way they waited. There are two kinds of waiting, a passive and active. Passive waiting, that's when you just kind of stretch out on the couch, waiting for things to be brought to you. You take no responsibility for things that happen, and you usually blame others around you when things don't go your way. And for many Christians living in the world, this kind of passivity is exhibited in the things that they use to fill the voids in their life. You know, to defeat the boredom and anxiety of waiting, some will turn to video games, the internet, and they develop addictions to food, drugs, and pleasures, and sometimes even nonstop busyness. The active waiting is best represented by the sensible virgins, you know, whose daily devotion and preparation were demonstrated by their unwavering anticipation of the groom's coming. So God accepted these into His wedding banquet. Last summer, my family and friends went on a four-day river rafting trip down the Rogue River in Oregon, and several of us paddled our kayaks over 30 miles down the twisting canyons with different degrees of difficulty. Some stretches of whitewater had these ominous names like Mule Creek and Wildcat, Devil's Stairs, and Grave Creek Fall. For the trip, we took along a guidebook, and it would become like a Bible to us. Each night, we'd all huddle together by the fire, and we'd review the route and plan for the next day's trip. Out in the water, we knew what we were going to face because we read the guidebook. But even though we knew in our heads what was coming up, that information alone did not help us make a successful run down the rapid. We had to be active. You know, we had to float. We had to constantly scout each stretch of the river. We had to read the water to determine whether it was a friendly or a dangerous rapid. We had to avoid the shallow areas that we might get stuck in. You know, they were identified by looking at the speed and the angle of the water splashing up over the rocks. We had to find the right line to go down the rapid to steer clear of rocks that could entrap us. And we had to make constant adjustments, you know, using short and powerful strokes with our paddles to stay upright in the rough and unpredictable white water. Well, on the final day, I learned a very important lesson about being ready. On the last rapid of the trip, my kayak was hit by a wave that seemed to appear from out of nowhere. My kayak overturned, and I was thrown into the rough white water and left clinging to the kayak as we were helplessly carried down the narrow chute. In hindsight, my troubles did not suddenly occur at the exact spot where I flipped my kayak. My mistake was a result of a miscalculation on my part 50 feet earlier in the calm waters before the rapids. You know, and in the same way, I believe that the foolish virgins didn't just run out of oil the day that the groom arrived. You know, they were probably without enough oil for quite some time. And it's this pattern of complacency that left them unprepared and eventually left behind. A relationship with God's Spirit must be cultivated moment by moment through perseverance, consistency, surrender, and obedience. Number three, we need to stay alert. Verses 10 through 13. When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him and to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, "Master, Master, open up for us." But he replied, "I assure you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour." You know, the timing of the groom's arrival was sudden and it was unexpected. And just as quickly as he came, he left with the sensible virgins. Can you imagine if you're standing at your own wedding and the person standing next to you who you're supposed to be marrying says to you, "I can't marry you. I don't know who you are." You know, maybe we're living a good life by the world's standards, but have we considered whether that alone is going to please God? You know, early on in my relationship with Winnie, we were driving past this roadside flower shop, and wanting to impress her, I abruptly pulled my car over to the side of the road. Without saying a word, I jumped out, went inside, and I bought an arrangement of carnations. And I brought them out to her and presented them to her, fully expecting to wow her. So Winnie did take the flowers, and then she smiled, and then she said, "Thank you so much, but I like yellow tulips." And, you know, to this day, 20 years later, I only buy tulips for Winnie, because I know that's what wows her. And I always buy yellow ones. And just in case, I'll also order an assortment of red, orange, and purple ones too. The assortment of carnations, they were good, but that wasn't what she wanted. So we need to make our relationship with him our top priority. And that begins by asking, "Lord, what can I do to please you today?" You know, to base our eternal security on our own goodness is a mistake. You know, our years of church attendance and hours of service aren't enough to wow God. You know, being a Christian isn't based on a point system. Truthfully, it will be the genuineness of our love and the faithful devotion to God that really wows him. So I have a couple of reflection questions for us. If waiting is such an important part of our Christian walk, then the question is, "Lord, are you pleased with the way that I'm waiting?" Number one, you know, what is that one area or situation in your life that God is asking you to be patient and wait? And this is usually the area in your life that consumes most of your thoughts and your energies worrying about. That is the area that God wants you to surrender to him. Number two, are we more like the foolish or the sensible virgins? Do we have enough oil to last for the wait? You know, consider the quality of our oil, which is the presence of God's Spirit in us. God wants to have intimate relationship with us, but how do we know if we love his presence in our lives? You know, we know if our oil is to read his word, acknowledge our sins, turn away from our sins, pray for ourselves and to intercede for other people, spend time listening to him, and root ourselves into a community with other believers. Number three, if I don't have enough oil, what am I going to do to get this oil? So here are just a few practical suggestions. You can set aside the first 20 minutes of your morning time for God, reading His Word, listening and worshiping Him. Find a prayer partner to walk alongside with you. Join a small group for growth and accountability, and rid ourselves of distractions and temptations that block us from hearing the voice of God. He wants our wholehearted devotion, and He really deserves it because He gave everything up for us. One of my favorite Bible passages is Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weary. So this illustrates the evidence of knowing God intimately and actively waiting for Him. But I ask myself, why does this passage use a reference to eagles? You know, why not the wings of a pigeon, the wings of a hummingbird, the wings of a turkey? You know, Netflix has a television program called The Hunt, and it's a nature program, and it shows how animals survive by hunting other animals. And eagles are more than a symbol of power and freedom. Eagles are made for soaring, and they are masters of flight, not because they overcame the laws of nature. They don't power through the wind. The opposite is true. Eagles are masters of patience. They wait until the wind currents lift them up effortlessly into the high altitude above the earth so they can spot their prey. So in the same way, God wants us to soar like eagles. I'd like to have the worship team come on up, and I'll go ahead and lead us in our closing. So in our lives, there will be moments when God will be exhorting us to move forward without hesitation and take hold of what lies ahead of us. At other times, it may seem like God is exhorting us to just wait patiently, but both should be embraced with the same sense of anticipation and devotion to Him. You know, sadly, many have allowed themselves to be deceived by the world's perspective on life. Their sense of what is lacking in their lives is in conflict with what God has to offer to them. Some will say, you only live once, so they pursue pleasures now because they don't want to miss out. But brothers and sisters, what we truly lack is an eternal perspective. So as we wait for the return of Jesus, He too is waiting for us. May we discern all that is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, reminded that He is coming, and we don't know either the day or the hour of His return. So I believe that God is speaking to many of us here, and He has been waiting for you to return to your first love. So I just invite you to respond to Him by standing up out of your seats if you'd like to. And if you don't, you can go ahead and silently put your hand over your heart where you're sitting. And just say this prayer. Lord, I want to run a good race with You because You are worth it. I confess that I need You to show me how to wait. Please teach me to have unbroken fellowship with You so that Your light will shine brightly in me before others till I see You again. Amen. So that concludes the message. If I believe Douglas and Alan will be up here. So if you have anything that you need prayer for, if you want us to stand with you, please step up afterwards. But this concludes this part of the service, and I just invite you to go upstairs and enjoy a meal together. Thank you.